Okay, tonight is Monday night, May 22nd. This is the Gemara Share. We're up to Moed Katan, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. The last sugya we learned was on right before the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which discussed Hezek She'eino Nikar, when you engage in damaging but you can't notice it. So the illustration which the Gemara gave was that somebody was mitame someone's taharot. I had truma, and I was mitame it. I went over and touched the Kohen's truma. He can't eat it anymore. But you don't notice it. So there is a machloikis in the Gemara, and Abai is of the opinion that Hezek Ria, Hezek She'eino Nikar is not halachically called damage, and therefore it's not theoretically collectible in Beis Din. But the Rabbanan put a knas, a fine, on anybody who does it and has to pay for the damages, because otherwise people would just go over and be engaged in Hezek She'eino Nikar and think that they can get away with it. So I want to take a look at several haarot about Hezek She'eino Nikar. So if you'll take the sheet, first we'll look at a machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam on one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand, about the definition of Hezek She'eino Nikar, and the Eben Ha'azal, who says, I have a simple case which would illustrate the difference between the two interpretations. So Rashi in Maseches Gittin, I bracketed, Hezek She'eino Nikar, Kigon Hani Demas Nisin, Shelo Nishtanu Mikamos Shahayu. What defines Hezek Nikar and She'eino Nikar? Where the item, you did something to it, but it has not substantially changed in its physical appearance. It looks exactly like it looked before. So in the case of being mitame taharot, the apple does. If I have an apple of truma, and I'm tame and I touch it, nothing has changed physically about the apple, and that by definition is where the item has not changed at all to the naked eye. Under those circumstances, that is called Hezek She'eino Nikar. If you go to page number 3 for a minute, Rambam writes the exact same thing in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chove Lo Mazik, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Hamazik Mamon Chaveiro Hezek She'eino Nikar. Somebody damages someone else's property with Hezek She'eino Nikar. Hoil Velo Nishtane Hadavar. On account of the fact that the item has not changed. Velo Nifsida Tsurato. And its shape, its form, has not been compromised. You are exempt from compensation according to Torah law. Avol midivrei sofrin, but the rabbi Amru, hoil vehifchis demehen, since you have diminished the value, harezem mechayav umishalei mashehifchis midamehen. You are now obligated and you pay the exact value of the decrease in the value. Whatever you decreased in the value, that's what you pay if you engaged in Hezek She'eino Nikar.
Are knasses like that? I thought knasses are usually fixed amounts.
Often they are. Not all, most of the time they are. But here, it's obviously not that way. It's not a fixed amount. You pay exactly what the damage is. It's a good point. Usually a knas is fixed. But that's a knas where the Torah fixes it. All knasos of the Torah are fixed. Not all. No, most of them are. The knas of somebody who's ones umefata. The Torah, it's a knas. It's a flat fee. Somebody has relations with or rapes a single girl. So there's a flat fee you pay no matter what. It's chamishim shkalim, and that's it. Usually the Torahs are fixed free, fixed amounts.
Is there an issur l'chachil to be metame truma?
What?
Is there an issur to be metame truma?
Not sure if there's an isur, a lav involved. There might be, I'm not sure.
In which case a knas wouldn't be necessary.
Yeah, there is, because a lav doesn't mean you pay for it. You may not be allowed to do so, but from Hilchas Nezikin point of view, you haven't done anything.
The lav is considered.
So the lav is just a. It might be a lav. I don't remember.
It might be an Isra Asay.
What?
Is it an Isra Asay?
I don't remember. What the religious point of view is. But the point is that since you can't measure the damage, it's Hezek Sheino Nipa. Now, if you go to page 2, Tosfos has a different. Different definition. Says Tosfos, Afal gav vehezek she'enu nikar lo shmei hezek. Nira l'ri, dahai chashiv hezek nikar. Shehare nikar hu, shehu kilayim, kishiroe hagifanim basodeh, umitamei, Afal pi shiroin hasheretz al hataharos lo chashiv hezek nikar. Demi yodea im hukshiru. Here is the case. I have a sheretz climbing on something that's growing. There is a halacha in Parsha Shmini that in order for anything that grows from the ground to become tamei, it must be exposed to liquid, water, or six other liquids, and it's exposed to the to liquid for the benefit of the owner of the item. So, if I have an apple, and normally before you eat an apple, most people rinse it off. That's what Ibn Ezra said. Even Ibn Ezra, that's the way he explains it. So that's the way, that's considered the Gemar Malacha, in effect, of a pre.
That's Tosh.
What?
That's Tosh.
I know. That's the only way it can become Tamei. Mechubar cannot become Tamei. So, when if it's attached to the ground, it still can't, it can never become Tamei. So here, somebody cut the apple. So normally we define cutting the apple, harvesting it, as the end product of your Malacha. Says Ibn Ezra, no. Most people wash all fruits and vegetables before they consume it. So the Gemar Malacha is considered the application of water. Now that it's ready to be eaten, it's now subject to Tumah. So if I put a sheretz on what? On a vegetable or a fruit, I don't know whether or not it's been what? It's been exposed to water or not. I don't know. So then it turns out that it was already exposed to water. That's what Tosfos defines as Hezek Sheino Nikar. Not that you didn't change the shape or the form. I just don't know whether or not my action is going to cause it damage value or not. Because if it had not yet been exposed to Tumah, even though I take an animal, a dead animal, a nevela, and I put it on it, or a sheretz, a dead sheretz, and I put it on the vegetable, if it was not exposed to water, it remains tahor. So when I place this on the item, I can't tell whether I am mazik this person or not. That's Tosfos' definition.
Does it have to be wet?
Yes, it must be muksha. No. Once it's been
dried off,
it remains muksha lekabel toma le'olam vod.
So, yes. Our case, you'd call regular hezek then.
In our case, yeah. You not being mitam, that's correct. Tosfos would not go along with Abaye, even though Abaye is saying, but lahalacha. Tosfos would say, if I know I'm being mitame taharot. But again, by mitame taharot, it depends what it is. If it's vegetables or fruits, he would not. That's the case. What he's talking about. I don't know if it's been mukshar l'kabel toma, but if it's grain, there's no halacha of being machshir grain l'kabel toma. There is none. So if I went over to a Kohen's bread and I touched it, that, according to Tosis, would be hezek nikar. I know that when I touch it, what's going to happen to it? It will be tamei. Because grain doesn't need hechsher. It's only fruits or vegetables that require hechsher l'kabel toma. So according to Tosis, the example which Abaye is talking about, be mitami taharot, would be only an apple or a tomato or something along those lines. So according to Tosfos, the definition of hezek she'eino nikar is that when you engage in an action, you can't tell definitively that I've engaged in a maaseh hezek. But if you see that there is water on it, or if you see that there is water on it, or you knew that there was water on it, and now you place the sharetz on it, under those circumstances, that's no longer hezek she'eino nikar, that is hezek nikar, because you can tell through your action that what has happened, that the tumah has taken place, and the financial value of that fruit or vegetable has decreased. And therein is the difference between Rashi and the Rambam on the one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand. According to Rashi and Tosfos, whether or not you place, know that there is water on it or not, it remains hezek she'eino nikar. Because whether it had previously been exposed to water, the apple or the tomato doesn't change shape or form. Nothing happens to the item when you put a sheretz, a little creepy dead animal on this fruit or vegetable. You can't tell the difference. So it will always reign hezek she'eino nikar. Whereas Tosfos would say this type of case is considered hezek nikar, because you, the person who is being mitameh, are fully aware of what's happening at that particular time. Yes?
According to Tosfos, eino nikar, you get a knas, even though it's not vada that you did anything wrong?
No, post it?
No. Post later, we know that you did something wrong.
So knas is only if you, afterwards. So nikar, not eino nikar.
Correct. So if you don't know, and now it becomes what happens. What happens? Lo and behold, you will find that somebody tells you, oh my God, this apple had already been exposed to water. So at the time when you did it, it was hezek she'eino nikar.
Right, so there's only knas for hezek she'nikar, according to Tosfos,
at the end of the day, because...
Right, at the end of the day, there's no knas for eino nikar, according to Tosfos.
Because you don't know about it. That's correct. It's only when you're exposed to it and you find out that it was, at the time, hezek she'eino nikar. It wasn't hezek she'eino nikar, it was nikar. Somebody else pointed out to you. You, at the time, are exempt. And even if you find out about it, min ha-Torah, you're still exempt. Min ha-Torah, you're still exempt.
No, hezek she'eino nikar is you are chayev when at the time that you did it, you just didn't know. That's all. But that's what hezek
she'eino nikar is. You don't know.
Right.
That's correct.
But I wouldn't. It doesn't turn into a case of hezek she'eino nikar. It's still at the time that you did the act.
Correct.
Of
but he's saying when somebody informs you or that you find out.
When are you going to get a knas?
When do you get the knas?
When did I do the action?
When
at the time that I did the action, it was eino nikar, whether I actually caused damage or not.
Correct. That's when you get a knas. Good. So that's point number one. What is the definition of hezek she'eino nikar? Rashi in the Rambam, lo nishtana hatsura, Tosfos, that you, the mazik, are unaware of the fact that you caused any hezek. So that's what's hezek.
You can probably come up with a case where the item changes in form. So, for instance, you think something is ownerless and hefker, and you destroy it. And then it turns out it was owned by somebody.
Yeah, but that's not hezek she'eino nikar.
According to Tosfos, it is, because at the time that I did it, it was ownerless.
It wasn't ownerless. No. That's a mistake that you made.
Okay, but the same thing. It's not that it wasn't owned. It wasn't mukshar. It was
no, but at least you can't. Even in the case of mukshar, you can't tell.
He doesn't add those criteria.
Right?
His only criteria is at the time that I did it.
Maybe. I'm not saying no. Maybe. That's point number one. Point number two is a machloikis between the Sma and the shot. Please turn to page number 4.
What does SMA stand for?
Sefer Mitzvot something.
Okay. I heard of smug. I never heard of smug.
No. SMA is a commentary on Choshen Mishpat. Now, the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel, above the discussion of Hesek Sheino Nikar, there was a machloikis in the Gemara, or a question in the Gemara, whether or not when we have somebody does something wrong, either in our Gemara the case was somebody deliberately planned melacha for Cholosh HaMoed, deliberately, or the case which the Gemara considered, Tsoram Ozen Bebechor, somebody clipped the ear of an animal that was a Bechor to render it into a Balmum. Or the case of somebody who sold an Eved to an Oved Kachavah. Somebody who sold an Eved to an Oved Kachavah. So you're not allowed to sell an Eved Kanani to an Oved Kachavah. So in each case, there is a Knas. Each case. The question was, if a father did any of those cases, the question was, do you pass on the knas to the child or not? Konsin bino acharav. We read that Gemara last week or not. So here there is a machloikis, how far this halacha of ein konsin bino acharav. The Gemara's conclusion was that we do not assign the fine to the child. It is only the father who is fined. That was the Gemara's conclusion by all three cases. By Tsoram Ozen Bebechor, by Kivein Melachto, and Cholosh HaMoed, you never assign the fine if the father died to the child. Says the Sma, Ein Konsin Beno Acharav, Perush, Afilu Omad Avihen Badin. Even if the father had already been brought to court and prosecuted, even under those circumstances, the halacha does not pass on the knas, page 5, does not pass on the knas unto the child. It's only the father himself, even if Bezdin already handled this case. So you had a guy who clipped the ear of a Bechor. Somebody brought him to Bezdin because he knew it was a Bechor. And Bezdin said, Yishmegegi, you're not allowed to do that. You violate a law of the Torah. We're going to prosecute you for this. Even if the Chiyuv had already been established by Bezdin, under those circumstances, you do not pass it on to a child. Under normal circumstances, if a father is in any lawsuit, and the case was handled by Bezdin, and Bezdin ruled against the father, then there is a halacha of kibud av v'eim that you're supposed to pay the debts. The yorshim are supposed to pay off all the debts of the father in order to maintain a crystal clear reputation for the father. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's part of the halachas of kibud av v'eim. La'achar Misa. That's going to be my topic for Shavuos night. The parameters of Kibud Avaim after a parent passes away. Is it a Daraisa, the Rabbana? Does it apply at all? What are the similarities? And so on and so forth. So here the Sma says that with this type of a Knas, it does not apply to the child, and it only remains with the father, even though Bezdin had already fixed that onto the father in Bezdin.
These Knasim, are these all on cases of Eino Nikar, or are these just regular? These are special.
No, these are not Eino Nikar. You can see it. Those three cases are introduced before the case of Hezek Sheino Nikar. It's you can see a guy's working on Chol HaMoed. You can see it. So now take a look at page 6, where the Shach in Choshen Mishpat pipes up and disagrees.
Who's this Knas get paid to?
The person who you damaged. So let's assume it's Chol HaMoed, right? So you did work on Chol HaMoed. So if you weren't supposed to do the work, we saw a machloikis. Does it mean that Bezdin is, let's say you worked on the field. So one opinion was that Bezdin is mafkirit, and you lose all rights to it, anybody else can take right. it. Others say it means that they shut you down on Chol HaMoed, and you're not allowed to do any malacha on it until after Yom Kippur.
Wait, what, the knas?
That's the knas.
So it's not really being a knas paid to another person?
No.
In all three of those cases?
That is correct.
Because Bechor it hurts the...
The owner. It benefits the owner.
Right, it hurts the Mikdash.
That's correct.
And the Eved, it hurts...
Eved hurts the Eved.
But he doesn't have much...
Room. No, but it hurts the Eved because he's going to lose the opportunity to do mitzvot. That's what right. the Gemara says.
So what I'm getting at is other knassos that are paid to other people...
Right.
Those would not necessarily fall into that category.
May not. We don't know.
That's not a blanket to all knassos.
It's not a blanket to all knassos. So, says the Shach, I bracket it in the middle of the page, Ein konsin v'no achara. Kosav hasma... Afilu omad avihen badin. The chain kosav hamechaber lael simin kufches seif beis. Mashein kain bimasur shemeis. The sma made a din, said that there is one exception to the rule, a moser. Somebody who gives information to the government about a Jew who is behind in his taxes or something. So that's a moser. So such a person gets fined. And that, by a masur, they said, yeah, even if the father dies, the kid has to pay for it. So said the mechaber. So the sma is consistent and the mechaber agrees with it. Says the shach, V'ein dvarav nechonim be'einai. I do not believe that he is correct. The Harambam v'hamechaber lekaman simin shin peches shepasku de masur shemeis govin miyarshav afilu lo amad badin haynu mitam shekosafti sham de sviru lehu de dino de garmi dinahu velo kas lo knasa. There says the Shach, that's a separate halacha. It's a separate halacha. That the case of a masur, says the shach, is not considered a knas, but that's a halacha in garmi. Let me take a second to explain. It's not an easy concept to explain. There is a principle in all of Jewish law that grama ben izakin is patur. Grama ben izakin. If I only cause damage to take place, but I don't deliberately strike the item. I do A, which causes B to happen. So, I'll give you an example, which the Gemara gives. There is a dam, and all I do is lift the dam. And now, I lift the wall, and the water starts coming out. And somebody getting the rush of water injures somebody, even kills somebody. The halacha is, unless it's the first koyach rishon, the first blast of water, which is attributed to my action, all the subsequent water that flows out is considered grama. I did not, by hand, actually push the water onto this person and caused injury or death. It's called grama. However, there is a concept called garmi. Now, what exactly is the hairline difference between garmi and grama is very difficult. And in fact, it was so difficult that the Ramban wrote a whole book. It's called Kuntres de Dina de Garmi. The Ramban wrote a whole book just on this topic, trying to go through all of the cases and trying to explain what's the difference between grama, which is pater, and garmi, which is chayv. I've seen it a long time ago. I don't remember the handle of what he said, but it's a little closer for some reason to your action. I don't have a good handle. What's the difference? So the Shach says that a masur is considered closer to garmi, and it's not It's not a knas. It's not a knas. It's good. V'hayesh omin shom the svirulei the dafki kishamad badin. The only time that we make the yorshim pay is when it's amad badin. Haynu mishum the svirulei the dino de garmi knasa de rabana. That dino de garmi is a knas. Mida oraisa even garmi is potter. Velo kansu bino acharav ve'eino chayav elo imkein omad badin. He would not be chayav unless he went to Bezdin. But if you already went so far as the case was adjudicated in Bezdin and Bezdin was mechayav him, under those circumstances, says the Shach, we do pass on the knas to the child. We do pass the case onto the child. Because once the Bezdin has already ruled, it's no longer in the category of a knas any longer. It's simply another obligation which the father has. We don't care where that obligation stems from. Either it stems from a loan or a sale. Father owes something. Children have to clear his name, and therefore, even if it is Amad Badin, says the Shach, we pass it on to the Yorshim. What is the kernel of the debate between the Sma and the Shach? And we mentioned this briefly 2 weeks ago. The difference, the machloikis is, what is the penalty, the knas, attached to? Is it that we fine what? The mamon? We impose the fine on the mamon. So, looking at the fine on the mamon, there are three illustrations of the mamon. What is the mamon? The field. You are working the field on Chol HaShamoed. So, we have assessed the fine that the owner of the field who worked it on Chol HaShamoed is not permitted to derive benefit from it. Or Tsaram Ozen, the Kohen who did this, is not permitted to sheft the Bechor in his own backyard. He still has to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and he can't bring it as a Bechor because it's already a Balmum, so I don't know what he does. But whatever it is, you can look at the fine as being related to the object. That's what the Shach holds. That since it's related to the object, we don't particularly care whether the father's here or not. Once Bezdin imposes the fine on this object, we apply it to the child. The Sma might hold, as is normally the case, as how we look at a knas, you find the violator, the perpetrator of doing something. It's not the object with which he handled or did the knas, it's the person who is being fined because he didn't follow protocol, he didn't follow rabbinic law or biblical law. So therefore, under those circumstances, the Sma is correct. The children were not violators. Therefore, if the father dies before he had a chance to pay it, the knas is not transferable to the item, because this type of a fine, here is the difference between a loan and a fine. What creates the obligation to pay a debt? It's not Bezdin. Bezdin just clarifies the facts. What creates the debt obligation? Your das makne. When you borrowed the money, you obligated yourself to what? To pay. When you bought the object and you didn't pay it yet, your own das makne obligated yourself. Therefore, that type of an obligation doesn't need Bezdin. It just goes automatically, is passed on to the child. A knas is not generated. The chiyuv to pay a knas is never generated by the persons. It's always generated by Bezdin. And we could say that Bezdin's fine is attached to the person who violated the law. Hence the children who did not violate the law, says the Sma, even if Bezdin prosecuted the father, the fine is not transferable to the children. But this is a well-known machloikis between the Shach and the Sma. And the Shach, even though here the Sma has the Mechaber on his side, we usually say in Yoredeya and Choshen Mishpat, where the Shach comments and disagrees that he is considered gedolei hapaiskim, the shach, and the halacha usually follows the shach, even if he overrides the Shulchan Aruch itself. That's how great the shach is. And the Taz was very jealous, people say, about the Taz, because in Yoredeya it's the shach and the Taz arguing all the time. And the Taz felt, hey, I wrote this whole perush and they never paskin like me, always like the shach. So what the Taz did is he wrote many of his comments are critiquing the shach. Ah, I showed you he's wrong. So what the shach did afterwards, he wrote what's called the Nekudas HaKesef. It's printed in Shulchan Aruch, which is the shach's response to the Taz's arguments, and he showed that the Taz doesn't know what he's talking about by arguing with me. So
already in their lifetime, this was already...
Yes, this was during their lifetime. Yes.
In terms of knas, so
yes.
A knas on a d'oraisa level, that might be attached to the person, it might be different.
It might be. We don't know. I don't know. Not sure.
And then going back to Garmi and Grumma and Nezek. So where does Bor? I mean, Bor is actual Nezek, and that's not really a direct action.
Yeah, you dug the Bor.
Yeah, but
that's the chidush of Bor. That's the chiddush of the Doraisa. Each one of the Arbavos has a unique thing. The unique chiddush of Bar is that the Nizik comes to the Mazik. In all other acts of damage, the Mazik goes to the Nizak. In Bar, that's the chiddush of Bar. That I didn't do anything. I just dug a pit in the street. The Nizik comes himself. But that is the chiddush of Bar.
And even the case, the guy who digs the pit, the guy who just removes the cover
is chayiv.
A good example of removing the dam.
I hear, but that's the chiddush of Bar. That's the chiddush of Bar. Can't argue with it. That is the unique chiddush of Bar. All right, Lama Gein Vayter. And in fact, the Karen Ora comments that one case which might be a difference between them is what happens if the father didn't die, but he sold the item that is subject to a fine. He sold the item. So, it's now by somebody else. I had this bechor, and I was sorem the ozen of the bechor, or I worked my field, and I grew worked on lots of tomatoes, and I sold the tomatoes to somebody else. So what happens now? So if you look at it that the fine is focused on the money, well, the money is still here. Where is the money? By somebody else, but the money is still around, and the fine should be applicable. But if the fine is gavra-based, based on the person, the fine should only apply to the person who violated the aveira. The lukoet, the lukeach, he never violated anything. So why would you pass on the fine to the lukeach? To the lukeach. And there's a Yerushalmi in Shvius. I think I quoted it here.
Page 7.
Yes, I did, on page 7. So, here is the case where somebody went and fertilized his field. That was one of the cases which we discussed. Fertilized the field on Chol HaShamoed. Taiba umeis bino. The father fertilized it, and then he died. Umeis bino mahu shiyehi muta lezora. The father, we know, is not allowed to plant the field. He was fined. He was not allowed to plant that field any longer. But what about if he died and the son is now in charge? Rab Yaakov bar Acha, Rab Imi b'shem Rab Yossi, Rab Chanina, Taiba Umeis, Bino Mutter Lazora. A child is allowed to plant the field. However, Taiba Umachra, Asur Lazora. But if the father fertilized the field, and then he sold it under those circumstances, the person who bought it is not permitted to plant it. Now that's somewhat inconsistent, because if you hold that you focus the fine on the item, there should be no difference between sale and what? And the child. And here the Yerushalmi splits it. That's what the Karen Ora points out, that there is some degree of inconsistency, doesn't seem to fit neither the Shach nor the Sma in this regard. Why would there be a difference between a Lokeach and a son who is a Yoresh?
What's the reasoning for that?
What?
What are the reasons given
for that? Doesn't give a reason.
It doesn't seem to have any logic.
I understand.
You'd expect either us or both or mutter both, right?
What?
You'd expect us or both or mutter
that
both.
That is correct.
We can say that if he dies, okay, that he really got punished. If he sells it, there's no incentive not to do it.
Okay.
So
maybe.
Maybe if the lokeach finds out he can't sell, he's going to go back and give the hard time and give him the money back and negate the sale.
Perhaps. Yada. Don't know. Okay. Lomer gain weiter in the Mishnah. Ein lokhin batim va'avadim ubehema elo letzorech hamoed. You are only permitted to purchase on Cholosh HaMoed either a house, an eved, or a behema, only for things that you need letzorech hamoed. So I have no place to live. You can buy a house, but if you have some place to live, you can't buy a house on Cholosh HaMoed. Same thing if you have an Eved, you can't buy. If you don't have an Eved, you're allowed to. And a Behema, you're allowed to buy if you don't have any. Or if it's only Litzorech HaMoed. O Litzorech HaMocher She'ein Lo Mayochal. You're also allowed to purchase something on Cholosh HaMoed from a dealer who has nothing to eat. So in order to give him, he doesn't have to collect from tzedakah, in order to generate something that he can go ahead and eat, you are permitted to buy something from him, even though you personally don't need it, l'tzorech hamoed, for his benefit, for the mocher's benefit, under those circumstances. That's what the Gemara says. That the Mishnah says. Now, Tosfos, take a look at Tosfos, Ein Lokhin Batim, on the left-hand side of the page, says Tosfos, Pirish Harav Rabbeinu Yosef, Hu Adin Bishar Dvarim. Even though the Mishnah lists these three things, Batim, Avadim, and Behema, this includes anything else. That what? Tzorech HaMoed, you need only Litzorech HaMoed. How do I know? The ha'asur limkor peiros elo letzorech hamoed. You are not permitted to sell fruits only letzorech. There'll be a Mishnah later on to confirm that. So Tosfos says, so then the question would be, why does the Mishnah have to mention these three items? Elo revusa kamashimlon. There is an added chidush in this particular Mishnah. The afilu hani, the hevyon bifarhesya, even these items, which generate a lot of publicity, when you buy a house or you buy an animal, apparently, or when you sell a slave, this is not like buying an apple. Buying an apple, you can keep quiet. Nobody in the neighborhood is going to know if you bought an apple. But this generates a lot of publicity. So I could have imagined that since it generates a lot of publicity, maybe the Rabbanan would have prohibited it, even if it's Litzorech HaMoed. So therefore the Mishnah says, the Chidush is, the Hani Nami, these as well, the Hevi Mepharsim, Shari Litzorech HaMoed. That they are permitted, even though it generates a lot of talking in the neighborhood. Vitzorech Iyun, E Tzorech Hani Tzina, Kimoahi the Peros Ksus Vikalim. And there is some doubt as to whether or not these items have to be done only privately, or even if it's a sale that takes place Bifar Hesia, everybody knows about it. We're not sure whether or not you would require Tzina for this or not. That's what Tosfos says. And the chiddush is that even though it generates a lot of issues, under these circumstances, it is l'tzorech hamoed, it still is
permitted.
What's the tzorech in there?
No, if you have to do it b'tzina, that's the tzorech here. Since everybody's going to know about it anyhow, you have to try to arrange that you do it at night when there's less people around or whatever it is. It's not sure. That's what he said.
What's the Kiddush here? Isn't regular Mechon Memkar a servant of tzorech?
What?
Isn't regular business a servant of tzorech?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be two Mishnayos that actually say that. We never had a Mishnah that said about Mekach u'Memkar. Up until now, we're working about planting, working on the fields. So here's where the Mishnah establishes that all Mekach u'Memkar has to be Lutzorech HaMoed. Now, the Meiri disagrees with Tosfos. Let's first read the Gemara though before I get to the Meiri. That's another Meiri. There's another Meiri which I forgot to focus that. Who says he disagrees with Tosis as to why the Mishnah lists these three. He says that the Mishnah's intention is to prohibit, under normal circumstances, the purchase of these types of items, which are mifursemes, unless it's a tzorech hamoed. But little gadgets, like metaltolin, there you're allowed to engage in the sale of these items, even if it's shelol tzorech hamoed. Even shelol tzorech hamoed. These items, which are big ticket items, and everybody's going to know about it, those we allow only l'tzorech hamoed. But little gadget items, under those circumstances, you're allowed to engage in selling, even if it is shelo l'tzorech hamoed. That's what the Meiri says, why the Mishnah has to stipulate these three. Now let's see the Gemara. Ba'a minei Rava me Rav Nachman. So Rava asked the following question of Rav Nachman. Sechar pe'ula she'ein lo ma yochal mahu. Am I permitted to hire a worker who does not have anything to eat? Can I hire somebody to work for me? I don't need the work done. I'm not going to do it. It's not because I know I shouldn't be doing it. But can I hire a worker to do something for me, knowing full well that this guy doesn't have what to eat? Amalei Tanina. He says, what do you mean? It's already in the Mishnah, the answer to that question. The second part of the Mishnah says, O litzorech hamocher she'ein lo ma yochal. What? Now, that particular phrase, according to Rashi, is la suyemai. What is this phrase coming to add? What is it coming to add? Take a look at Rashi. La suyemai. Ilemocher, if you want to know that if we're focusing on the mocher, who doesn't have what to eat, hotanile, litzorech hamoed. It already says that if a guy needs something litzorech hamoed, are you allowed to buy such things if he needs it? Good. Well, somebody who doesn't have any money, what do you think he's going to be doing with the money that he earned? Something has no one to eat. Somebody has nothing to eat. What do you think he's going to be doing with the money that he earns? What do you think he's going to do with the money that he earns? Buy food. So the Mishnah already said you're allowed to engage in activities. So why does the Mishnah have to give a second type of case? That a mocher she'ein lo ma yochal, you're allowed to buy something from him. If he has nothing to eat, what is the guy going to do? He's going to buy litzorach hamoed. So buying litzorach hamoed, you're allowed to do? Answers the Gemara, must be my lav lasuye schar pula. Maybe this means that not only are you allowed to what? Buy things for what? Which are going to be used at Tzorach HaMoed. I'm allowed to rent or hire an employee who will be doing melacha for me that I shouldn't be doing, only for what reason? To grant him some funds so that he will now be able to purchase food. So you should have, since the extra phrase of the Mishnah is the last second phrase of the Mishnah is superfluous, we should be able to resolve this very quickly, very easily.
Why is it superfluous?
Because we know, it said, what are you going to do with a mocher? What is the mocher going to do with the money that if he has nothing to eat?
Well, the first part of the Mishnah is saying that if I need that item.
Correct. You're allowed to buy it. Why? Litzorach hamoed.
I need to buy it.
Good. Well, so now I know that if something is going to be used litzorach hamoed, I can do it. So I'm going to buy something because he has to buy food litzorach hamoed.
We don't know that he's allowed to do that.
Okay. So Rashi feels that, the Gemara feels that I should be able to figure that out myself. Because I know for a fact that the mocher will use the money litzorach hamoed. The truth is, I could have said the same thing about the poel. Since I know that this poel has nothing to eat, when I hire him, what's going to happen? Exactly, he's going to use the litzorach hamoed. And I don't know what the big dilemma in the Gemara is. So the Gemara rejects it and says, Amalei lo, prushe kamefaresh. The second case of the Mishnah is not what? A new case? It's just explaining the first case. When are you allowed to buy what? Batim, avadim, and behemot, which are big ticket items and generate a lot of publicity. Only under what circumstances?
Both of you need them.
Where both of the need is for both. Exactly. That's what the Mishnah is trying to tell you. So it's not available for in a case of schar pu'ula. Because in schar pu'ula, it's a one-way deal. Who needs it? Only the poet.
So we're saying now that it's simultaneous, that both have to?
Yes, that's what the Gemara. Perushe kum mefarish.
Yeah, but could be perushe mefarish either way, either side. Either the buyer needs it.
But then the poet would be resolved. Then the poet would be resolved. But the Gemara is rejecting it and says you can't resolve the poel in this case due to the fact that it's only a one-way street. Only a one-way street.
You're saying you can't buy a behemoth?
What?
You can't buy a behemoth on the Chomoid, whereas you need the behemoth and the seller. Right.
That is correct. That's pretty tough. That's correct. Now, when the Gemara comes up with this question about schar pu'ula, who is the Gemara's focus on? Is the focus on the worker? That a worker should not avail himself to work unless what? Unless he has no food? Or is the halacha talking about the balabas? You should not hire anybody to work unless you know for a fact that he has no food. Who is the focus on?
Balabas.
Is it on the balabais or on the poel? So take a look at...
We already know about the worker.
What?
Didn't we learn about the worker many months ago?
Okay, that's what someone's going to say in 1 second. Hold on a second. So take a look at page 9, the Nemuki Yosef. Schar pu'ula. Piresh poel she'ein lo mayochal biyotov mahu lahaskir atzmo becholo shomoe. So it's black on blue. Who does the Nemuka Yosef say we are referring to?
The poet.
The poet. Mi amrina, do we say ki sharina bimasnitin? That which we allowed in the Mishnah is only dafka b'mekach ha-memkar, only within the context of a sale. Avol melacha mamish lo. But for a poel, even though he has nothing to eat, we may not allow it. Because we don't want melacha being done on Chalosh HaMoed. Sale is not melacha. You just give something, exchange the money. Odilma afilu melacha mamish mutter kishein lo mayocha. Or perhaps, is it permissible even to do melacha when you have nothing to eat? So the Gemara's question, according to Nimuk Yosef, is crystallized. Why am I suddenly asking about schar pula? Because referring to the poel himself, is the poel permitted to go ahead and avail himself as a worker, but he's going to doing melacha on Chol HaShemoeh? I can't answer that question from the simple reading of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah's simple reading was purchase, and purchase is nothing to do with what? With melacha. Maybe by melacha they were somewhat more strict. That's the interpretation of the Nemuka Yosef. However, turn to page 10. Says, this is the Chayadon. Tzorachian l'das ha-Magen Avraham. He quoted Magen Avraham, don't worry about that. In Cain, ha di ibaye, that which the Gemara asks, schar pi'ula she'ein lo mayochal asur. Whether or not, if a worker who has nothing to eat, is he permitted to hire himself out or not? Hainu lefizeh, afilu ein lo lechem umayim. Must be talking about that he has not even the bare what? Bare, that's not that he doesn't have luxus, steak. He doesn't have bread and water. Asks the Chayada, v'chisal kedaitach sheyisane? Is there anybody who thought that the Gemara is considering the possibility that on Chol HaShemoed in the last days of Yantar, this guy's going to fast? Afilu lahasovrim demeleches Chol HaMoed humidoraisa. Even according to those authorities who believe that the essence of doing melacha on Chol HaShemoed is a biblical prohibition, mikol makom, everyone nonetheless agrees, lekuli alma masra haTorah lechachamim. The actual types of melacha that are prohibited have been assigned to whom? To the chachamim. Ve'eich sal kedaita, how could we possibly entertain the possibility Shiatiru chachamim dover ha'oved mamono, that the chachamim will allow you to engage malacha to avoid what? Financial loss. V'lo yatiru dover ha'oved migufa, and will not allow you to do something in order to what? Spare your body. V'af demashma dehi iboi lo koi ala poel, even though it might seem to indicate that the question which the Gemara asks is not on the poel, but rather on whom? On whom? On the hirer, the person who was hiring him. The be'emes bevadai hapoel yocholasis kol melacha lahachios napsho. There is no doubt that if a poel has nothing to eat, that of course he can hire himself out. There's no question about that. Ela dehi ibaye, the question of the Gemara is, in mutter li Yisrael chaveiro litain lepoel melacha. Am I permitted to give him work to do? The hu ke'ein ein omrim le'adam chatei bishvil shiyizke chavercha. You don't tell a person to transgress for the benefit of somebody else. I am not permitted to have work done on my property. And now if I'm going to take the initiative in hiring him, yes, I know he's starving, but I'm doing something wrong for his benefit. But the worker himself, there is no doubt about it that he can initiate the agreement. Because how could it be possible that the Chachamim would allow Dover Ha'oved Mamono, you're allowed to do Malacha yourself, in order to avoid financial loss, and it would not be permitted yourself to what? To engage in doing malacha to avoid your own demise. Of course. Therefore, he is now learning that the Gemara's question is only concerning the poel. Not the poet, excuse me, the balabais. Can the balabais hire him? Is the balabais permitted to do something wrong for the benefit of such a person? That's the Gemara's question. But not the poel himself, just the way the Nemuki Yosef clearly said it, that the Chayodim says is a dava pashut, and there is no need for us to ask such a question. And then he just goes on later to say that if the poel did not have lechem umayim, then there's no question in the Gemara whatsoever. But if he had lechem umayim, he had bare necessities, and now he wants to hire himself out for something else. He doesn't want to just eat water and what, but he won't die. But it's not going to be the most pleasant Chol HaMoed and Yontif Sheni, if the second day is a Yontif, if he only has bread and water. That, says the Chayadam, if you wanted to be an action and say that the case is talking about the Poel, the way the Nemuki Yosef does, it's talking about he has Lechem Umayim. The Gemara's only question is, if can he hire himself out to work to gain Dvarim Acherim, other things that might be considered ordinarily necessities for Yom Tov, but it's not that he's totally poverty stricken. If he had no lechem and mayim, there'd be no question whatsoever. All right, stop here, and we'll continue in 2 weeks from Tuesday night. There's no share next week, and then for the then three straight, it'll be Tuesday night, and mincha at 7:45.